Today is the last day of January of this month. 1 month is going to pass away from us of 2016. And the Lord has been good. He has kept us under His wings and He has protected us, and let us thank God. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this beautiful morning time that You've given us, that we can come in Your presence. Lord, we thank You for all the good things that You have done, Father. 1 month is going to be passing away. As today is the last day of this month, we thank You, Lord, for taking care of us and protecting us and guiding us and leading us even in this moment, O Father. We have come in Your presence this morning. We pray that You speak to us from Your word. We thank You, Lord, for everything that You do. We give You all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, as you all recall, we are basically doing the program, the session called Bearing God's Image. And we have been going through a lot of series, a lot of lessons, and as the image bearers of God, today we are looking at the lesson called Forever Trusting. Looking at the key words, perseverance and assurance. We are going to wrap up this series very shortly, but there are two things that we understand. They are related to each other. One is called persevere. The other one is called assurance. So, as we consider the relative doctrines of perseverance and assurance, the last time we were looking at three different things. So last time we looked in the fact that we can trust that God will never abandon us. When we become a child of God, our God will never abandon us. And that is what we looked the last time. Today we are going to continue on that. And we can demonstrate our trust in God through our endurance. When we know that God is our Heavenly Father and we are His children, we know that we can trust in God. And the way we say that we trust in God is through our endurance. We endure. Life is not very easy as a child of God. We are faced with a lot of problems and difficulties. But the beauty of the Christian life is that we endure till the end. That is the goal. The moment you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, it's like we are entering into a race. This is not a race for the swift. It's not a race for the strong. It's not a race for the mighty. But it is a race for those who will endure till the end. You see, Olympics is coming up shortly, and we see many races going on. The person who wins the prize is the one who is either the strongest or the fastest. There are certain criteria. But when we understand the Christian race, it is not how quickly you reach the goal, the fact that you can endure till the very end, till the last day of your life. You hold on to God's promises. You move with the promises of God. You are on a race of life. We are all have a track to run. We are running a race looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And as we run this race, we have to run with patience and with endurance. Let me tell you, child of God, it's not how many things you do in a week or how many great things that you are able to achieve, it doesn't matter. The matter is that, Lord, I have been faithful to my call, even to the very end, to the last moment of our life. That is why it is not the length of life that God is looking for. It is the brevity and the quality of our life that God is concerned about. Two examples come into my mind and I will tell you very quickly. Jesus. I sometimes wonder why Jesus did not live a long life. Many of us have lived life longer than Jesus on this earth. He He lived for 33 and a half years. First 30 years has been silent. We don't see any much about Jesus, except in Luke, where we see at the age of 12, he goes to the temple. One small episode of Jesus. But then his life is silent. And then at the age of 30, Jesus appears on the scene with the water of baptism. And then he ministers for only 3.5 years. But he completed the mission that God his Father had for him. Another great example we know is from the book of Acts. I mean, after the apostles decided that we have to select 7 deacons in the church, Stephen was one of the first names that came about. A great man. And you should read his one speech that he made, one sermon that is recorded in the book of Acts chapter 7. It completely covers the whole Old Testament and up till that moment. But do you know that Stephen was stoned to death at the prime of his ministry? And then we ask the question, what is life all about? We all pray, Lord, let me live more and more. But the problem is our life effective in the sight of God? And that's what we see. So we have to demonstrate our trust in God through our endurance. The third thing is that, and the very important is that, we are called to pursue holiness. Why? Because without holiness, no one will see God. If you do not develop a personal holy life in your life and action, I am assuring you that we will never be able to see God in the way that He wants to be seen. We have to have a personal holiness in our, by doing disciplines in our life. Not indulging in what the world goes after, but looking at Jesus and following the word and maintaining a personal holiness in our life. We have to discipline our body. Maybe do things that are not very comfortable for us, but if it is the kingdom of God, we should be able to do that. A life of discipline, a life of dedication. And that is why we always say that one of the spiritual discipline is fasting and prayer, where you are denying food, you are denying the other things that you do, sit in God's presence. Why? To pursue after holiness. Because we have to pursue after holiness, because that is what it all matters. And that is how we trust in God's promises and we engage in His mission. So trusting in God is not something that marks only at the moment of conversion. Of course, we accept Jesus by an act of faith. We invite Jesus in our hearts. We accept Him as the Lord of Savior. We trust in Him. But then, it is a defining mark for our entire Christian life. We continue to trust God. And that's something that we need to understand. So last time, for those who came, I'm not going to repeat it. We looked at a lot of depth into the fact that we trust that God will never abandon us. And for that, we looked at the passage of John chapter 10, verses 27 to 29. And then we looked at Isaiah 43 verse 13 and Deuteronomy 31 verses 6 to 8. I'm not going to go into that because that part is already covered. So today we are going to go into the second part, which is we demonstrate our trust in God through our endurance. Can we open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews? And we are going to read a few verses. We demonstrate our trust in God through our endurance. Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 12 to 19. If one of you have your Bibles open to that passage, can you please read out? I will prefer in English and not in Malayalam so that everybody can follow along. If you have a passage in English in your Bible, one of you, please read out loudly. Hebrews chapter 3 verses 12 to 14.
Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end.
To verse 19.
While it is said, today, if we will hear this voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was it grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
The writer of Hebrews is giving us a warning. And this is to Christians, a warning to each one of us. Verse number 12 says, beware. You know, sometimes we go in front of houses where there is a board that says, beware of dog. Okay? So which means what? Don't run into the house without any. Be very careful. Watch out. There is an animal waiting to pounce on you. Beware. You have to stop by and don't do the things that you usually do. Beware. There's a sign in the yard. Or sometimes when the people who put spray fertilizers, they say, beware, don't walk on the grass, because what? There are chemicals there. Don't allow your child to run without shoes and all that, because there are chemicals that may hurt him or her. There is a warning. There is a warning. When the ice storms came last time under the bridge, beware. You know, there is ice formed under the bridge. I mean, you have to understand. These warning signs are for us to be careful. Because there is a danger that is coming. If we are not careful, we need to pause and recheck ourselves and think, I cannot do certain things the way I have been doing so far. Here, verse number 12 says, beware, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. You know, our heart is naturally wicked. And let me tell you that. Man's heart is naturally wicked. It's full of evil. It's full of poison. It's full of envy and all the carnality that we see. It is naturally wicked. But when we invite Christ in our hearts, He tries to take away and chisel away the carnality from us. And He says, I'm going to change your heart of stone into a heart of flesh, that you can receive my word. And our heart becomes like a field where God's word is sown, so that we start producing the fruit that God wants in our life. But then in the course of our Christian life, it is very possible that we will start doubting God's word. We will start disbelieving God's word. And the reason why? Because we are turning away from the intimacy with God. One of the reasons I always tell people to develop an intimacy with God, you need to read God's word on a daily basis. You need to hear from God when He talks to you. You need to talk to God in prayer. And that is how we continue to trust in Him and live an intimacy in our daily life. But what happens is, as we move forward, it is very possible that we develop an evil heart. It says, it's an evil heart. Evil. Not godly, it's ungodly. It's an evil heart of unbelief. You know, many of us, we say we are believers, but in actuality, we don't believe. We say we trust God, but when it comes to the reality, our trust in God does not meet the standard. And we really do not trust God the way we ought to trust God. It says that, lest any one of you have an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse number 13 says, we need to exhort one another daily. Now let me tell you, to those lone Christians who think you don't need to come to church, one of the words that says, we need to exhort one another daily. That is how we are encouraging each other in our daily walks. It's very important. The fellowship of being in the family of God is very important. We have to let others be an encouragement in other people's lives. We have to encourage others. We have to receive encouragement from others. So it says that you exhort each other's daily while it is called today, which means now. Don't keep it for tomorrow. Exhort one another. If somebody is in a trouble, make sure that you don't go and push him down or kick him in the rear. But tell him, brother, I'm praying for you. I'll help you. Do you need any help? That is how we exhort one another daily. It says, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, our heart becomes hardened, calloused. Many people, we have been so long in our Christian journey that we don't hear the still small voice when God wants to talk to us. We are not hearing His voice because our hearts have become hardened. It's become calloused. Our ears have become dull of hearing. That was what happened to the Israelites. God was in the midst of the camp. God would tell them, but they would not believe God. They were rebellious. And that is why the Old Testament is there for an example that we do not follow their footsteps. We do not repeat their mistakes. Listen, the Old Testament, even though many people say we don't need the Old Testament, I've heard that many times from people. We don't need the Old Testament. For us, it's New Testament. We are in the New Age. No, the Old Testament is kept there for a reason. The Old Testament is a shadow of the New Testament. But more importantly, the No Old Testament is there that we learn from their mistakes. We learn from what they did not do or what they did wrong, and we do not repeat it. Because if we repeat their mistakes, we are going to fall into the same trouble ourselves. The Old Testament, I'm sometimes surprised how frank the Bible is in the Old Testament. 600,000 men plus women plus children started out on a journey to the promised land. How many people entered there? Of the 600,000 men and women and children. Can somebody tell me?
Two.
Do the math. Do the percentages. How many people entered the promised land? If God will keep away the rest of the people from the promised land, let us not assume at any time that because we are coming to church or because we were born in a Christian family or because we do certain things, we are going to inherit the promises of God. Let us not just assume it and go in our sinful ways and do what we want to do and expect God to forgive us and take us back. And He's right now we are living in an age of grace. Yes, God is not punishing us. If we were in the Old Testament times, we would have been stoned to death. Or we would have been killed by God in the way that He was doing in the Old Testament. But now we are living in an age of grace. Let's not take the grace of God for granted and continue to do sin which displeases God. Here it says that exhort those so that you will not be hardened by sin. And it says down below in verse number 14 and 15 that we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. The confidence that we have on God, keep it, hold to it, hold on to the promises of God. The word of God is full of promises. Hold on to the promises. They are our checks that God has given us to encash. Take the promises in your life. Anything in your life, there is a promise of God attached that speaks to you in that situation. Anything you think about in your life, whatever situation you can imagine that is happening in your life right now, there is a word of God with a promise attached that we need to claim and ask God, Lord, this is the promise and I want to walk in your promises. Verse number 15, it says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the days of rebellion. You know, God spoke through Moses and God spoke directly to the people of Israel. If you read the book of Exodus, God Himself came down on Mount Sinai with a great commotion, with thunder and lightning and noises, and it was terrible. People said, "We cannot stand the God's presence." But very shortly, they forgot all about it. When they saw that Moses had gone for 40 days, they said, "Come, let us make ourselves a God." And Aaron helped to make them a molten calf. And they started dancing and they started worshipping and said, "You are the God who brought us out of Egypt." This is what the Israelites did. And this is what we do many times. We forget that there is a God who has helped us. We forget about everything. We think that, you know, and we run after other things and we forsake God in the end. We have to make sure that we have to be careful that we do not have an evil heart of unbelief. Verse number 16, when you come down, it says that, see, here the writer of Hebrews is again taking us back to the Old Testament, the children of God, children of Israel, the Israel. It says, for who, having heard, rebelled? You know, they also heard the voice of God. They also heard from the man of God, Moses, directly what God wanted in their lives. But they rebelled against God. And then it says that he was angry for 40 years. He bore them. He took care of them. He fed them. When they were hungry, he gave them manna. When they were lusting after flesh, he sent quails and gave them meat. In the night it would be cold, so he became a pillar of fire for them. In the day it would be very hot from the sun, he became a pillar of cloud for them. He protected them. He took care of them as an eagle protects the wings, her eaglets. God protected the children of Israel. He gave them the word. He gave them how to live their lives in every aspect. But even after that, they rebelled against God. They would not believe God's word. God said, go, take possession of the land that I'm giving you. They sent out 12 spies. Out of them, 10 came back and said, we cannot do it. As if they were expected to. They were not expected to do it. God would have done it for them had they trusted that God is going to do and he's going to face faithful to fulfill his promises. And that's how the sad thing is that the entire people, more than 1.5 million people, the children of Israel, they wandered through the Israelites until everyone died in the wilderness. They wandered. 40 years they were wandering. They could have crossed over from Egypt to the promised land in just 6 days. 6 days they could have reached Canaan. But they were wandering in the wilderness, like some of us are wandering, round and round, round and round. Nothing is happening. Things are just going round and round. Because we have taken away our eyes from God and we are looking to ourselves. And that is the problem. Here it says in verse number 18, to whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest, but those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. So let me tell you, we have to continue trusting God and endure through our belief, because God has a definite caution through his word. He tells us, trust in God, have faith in God. Not just saying, Lord, I trust you. No, in our life and actions it should show. When problems come in our life, don't go away from God. Go closer to God in prayer. Read God's word more. If the problem is little more bigger, take fasting. Sit in God's presence. Don't go around complaining, oh, I am in this situation, I am in this problem. No. But take your eyes off from the problem and put your eyes on God's word and the promises that he has for you. And this is what the writer of Hebrews is telling us. It's calling for a definite action. And that's what we see. Let us again also turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this will give us a little more emphasis. And you can read the entire portion. I'm not going to go through everything. But very clearly how Apostle Paul is linking the Old Testament with today's, with our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Apostle Paul is saying about, he's recounting about Old Testament, the people who went through everything. He says, I don't want you to be unaware, brethren. Our fathers, they were under the cloud. And they all passed through the Red Sea. Do you know what it means when they passed through the Red Sea? It is a baptism. It is a symbolism of our baptism that just like we are entering into the waters and coming out as a in obedience to God, they went through the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea. They walked on dry land, but they were surrounded by water. They came out just like us. And then he's putting down. They all ate the same spiritual food. The spiritual food that God provided them for that day or in those days was manna. God gave them not once in a week, by the way. These days we are eating our spiritual food when? When do we eat?
Sunday.
You are lasting on a food for Sunday. Let me tell you, the food that you eat today morning, don't ever pray, Lord, give us the food for this week. I've heard some prayers, horrible prayers. No. Give us this food for today. That is a prayer that we need to make. We are not like a camel that can store up food in the back and go long distances without food and water. No. Every day we need to feed. The same way how God fed the Israelite people every day. Only on the Sabbath day, God did not feed them, because on the day before the Sabbath, God would provide them enough for 2 days. That was the only time that they could gather double and the food will not rot. All other days, if they think, okay, let me get more, I feel hungry, okay, he goes and collects 2 baskets. One basket that he eats, that will be okay, but the next basket, it will rot. No matter if they keep in the fridge also, even if they put salt, it's going to rot. Because God's word was not for the next day, it was just for that day. Today, what is God's word? When we say, give us this day our daily bread, is it our breakfast, lunch and dinner? What is that bread we are talking about? The word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The way we can endure is through a daily reading and a daily personal devotion in God's word. We need to feed on God's word. That is what it says in Psalms 23. People don't understand. Oh, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. They think of like a sheep lying down in green pastures. And the green pastures is the word of God. God is our shepherd. He takes us to the green pastures of his word. When does a sheep lie down? Can anybody tell me? When does a sheep lie down?
Full.
Only when it's full. When the stomach is full. So like some of us roll in the back and after a big meal, you know, we do that. The sheep will lie down on the back because it's contented. It doesn't need to stand up and again eat because it's eaten, it's full. What happens? It's lying down. Are we lying down like that? Do we have that experience in our personal life? Do we lie down after we take in the food from God's word? I want to challenge every one of us. We are all in the same situation. I know we are all very busy. That's one excuse we say, oh, I'm too busy. I don't have time. I'm working, working, working. Taking care of children, cooking food, you know, doing that, taking my child out for that thing, this thing. We all are busy. Only we don't have time for sitting in God's presence, eating his food that he provides and lying down. When God is our shepherd, he will lead us to green pastures. He will give us contentment and we can endure. When we are in presence of God. Let's come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says about they ate the same spiritual food. They drank of the same spiritual drink. What is the spiritual drink that is for us today? Can somebody tell me? What is the... I'm asking. Let's see. Let's see. Actually, they have been in God's thing for so many years. What is the spiritual drink that we are drinking today? It's the living water. What is the living water that Jesus said? It is the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the living water. Jesus said, if you drink this water, you will again be? You will be thirsty. But that water that I give you, you will never be thirsty. It will give us a satisfaction. The power of the Holy Spirit is like water that we need to drink on a daily basis. Eating God's word, the food, taking in, being refilled by the Holy Spirit. I am telling you, this is the answer for all your problems. I'm not going to charge you any fees for giving that. Free advice. You got it for free from me. Do you want a solution for your issues? Do you all want a solution for your issues? eat daily spiritual food from God's word. Drink of the spiritual water, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you believe in me, out of his heart or belly shall flow rivers of living water. On the last day he cried out and said, if you believe in me, we have to drink of that water of life. That should not only contain within us, but it will flow out into the lives of other people. And then once we are filled of the Holy Spirit, we will go and in the name of Jesus, we will do miracles. Like we see in the first century. Those disciples, when they were filled and they drank the spiritual drink, they came out and that affected other people. That is why when Peter and John went out, what happened? They were so full of the living water that they did not pray at that time. They said, silver and gold have I none. What I have, I give to you. They had something to give. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. That's it. No prayer, no fasting. They didn't call for a fasting prayer. They were so full of the Holy Spirit that they drank of it and drank of it and then it overflowed. Just like in Psalms 23 says, my cup runneth over. What do you mean the cup runneth over? That is how. It's not supposed to be contained in your life. The Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit is supposed to flow out of your life so that you can be a blessing to the lives of other people. I want you to think about it. Are we doing it? Are we reading God's word daily? Are we meditating on God's word? Are we allowing God to speak to us? Are we sitting in God's presence and being filled and refilled with the Spirit of God that will run over from our lives and touch other people? Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse number 5, it says about the Israelites, most of them, which was 99.9% of them, God was not well pleased. He was not happy. We think that we are Christians and we think God is, but actually when we ask God, Lord, are you happy with me? We need to understand if he's happy with us or not. With most of them, God was not well happy. And then Apostle Paul describes the sins that they were doing. They were lusting after things that they should not have lusted. Number two, they became idolaters. Number three, they committed sexual immorality. Number four, they tempted Christ, which was the Christ in the Old Testament. I mean, the pre-incarnate Christ, they tempted him. Jehovah God, they tempted God. They were destroyed by serpents. Then they complained. Let me tell you, complained, I cannot believe. Complained is compared to sexual immorality. Can you believe that? Complaining, is it a sin?
Yes.
It is a sin. When we complain against God, it is a sin, let me tell you. And we have all committed that sin many times when we complain. We complain about things that we don't have. We complain about other people. We complain other people to God. We complain other people to other people. We are complainers. We have that same carnality. And it says that they complained. They tempted, they complained. Five things Apostle Paul is showing it. And then in verse number 11, this is something that you should underline. If you have a pen, I would strongly suggest you take up your pen and underline verse number 11. Now all these things happen to them as
an example.
Why all this happened? It is they are an example. They are written for our admonition. And so in verse number 12, it says, Paul says that, therefore let him who thinks he stand, take heed or beware. Another beware sign, you know. You think you are standing today? Beware lest you fall. And then he speaks about temptation. So let me tell you, we have to endure. The way we endure is that we need to understand these kind of sins came in the life of the people of Israel. It can easily come into our lives. The sin of doubting God, the sin of lusting after evil things, the sin of putting others and other things and other people before God. That is called idolatry. I know none of us are going and bowing before an image. We are not doing that. But we, any idol is anything that replaces God in your life. If anything replaces God, that thing or that person is an idol. If it is your job, if it is your hobby, if it is your leisure, if that is going to replace God in your life, let me state it by the authority of word, God's word, that it is an idol. It is an idol. God wants and demands first place in your life. Our God is a jealous God. He will not allow other things to replace Him. I know we all have to work for a living. I'm not saying don't quit jobs and sit in God. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying in our daily life, in our life by itself, we need to give God the first place. That is what God demands. And when we are not able to do that, we become idolaters. We are idolizing something or some activity over the work of God and over the plan of God. Remember the example of the Old Testament. Those people, they went out, they were, you know, you should see the way Miriam danced when they were rescued by the Red Sea. Oh, you know, we have been saved by Pharaoh. In Malayalam, we sing a song, Pharaoh Nyanini. Oh, we sing that song. She took a timbrel and she danced and she became the praise and worship leader, and everybody was dancing and so happy. But what happened to most of them? Most of them, they all perished in the wilderness, including the high priest Aaron. Even Moses did not enter the promised land. This is for our example, brothers and sisters. We cannot take our life lightly. We know that our life is short, and we need to do what God is wanting from us. Let's also turn to one more verse, Romans chapter 8, where it talks about suffering. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to suffer. But hear what God's word. Can someone read out loudly? Romans 8 verse 17. It's speaking about us as God's children. We are children of God. Okay.
And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him.
We have to suffer with Him. Even though He is physically not present, we are to suffer with Him in our life. What do you mean by suffering with Christ? Can somebody tell me some examples? How do you suffer with Christ in our daily activities? What do you think about suffering? Is it that you are burned in the stake? No, nobody is going to do that. At least not in this country. Some of the other countries may do that, and they are doing that also. They are killing Christians, by the way. Not in this country, at least. We have that freedom. How do we suffer for Christ? How do we partake? How do we partake? Kristuvinte kashtangalodu pangaligal. How do we partake with His suffering? How? That's the question. Act like Jesus where? Okay. Okay.
Stand up for the faith where we are placed.
Stand up for the faith where we are placed. Show yourself as a child of God in the midst of a crooked generation where He has placed you. I'm telling you for sure, if you really say that you are a child of God, you will face suffering. People will look down on you. I bet that. At least in today's society, wherever you go, if you say, I am a child of God, or I cannot do this, I cannot say this word, or I cannot party with you, or I cannot do the things that you do, in a way we are suffering because we are standing up for our faith. and standing up for what we believe. We have to do that in the places that God has placed us. We have to stand up. Another thing is, like, for example, are your family is going on a mission trip. You're going to stand up for Christ, right? Wherever God has placed you. That people may persecute you. That is where you suffer for Him. That is a suffering. That is a more deeper and a more personal level the suffering may come. I'm telling you, don't take it that everything is going to be smooth sailing in many of the countries. They are against Christians. And they are ready to kill. And they are ready to rejoice. The other day in Uttar Pradesh, and we were hearing about that, I don't know where, a man was paraded in the street naked because he was a Christian. They would never do that for a Hindu person. That man was suffering. Are we doing that here in this country? One of the things I love about this country is the freedom that we have, irrespective of whatever. Even though there are elements of destroying that freedom, but this country, we have a lot of freedom. Even with the freedom, we are not refusing to stand up. We are shy to propagate our faith. We are hesitant to tell other people about Jesus. We are, even when we pray, we are hesitant to pray in the name of Jesus. We are hesitant to take His name. Those are all part of the sufferings. If we have to endure with Him, we have to suffer with Him. Let's go quickly to the next and the last part. We have to pursue holiness. Because as we trust in the promise of God, we have to pursue. Pursue, which means go after holiness. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. And this is the word that we had received at the beginning of this year as our promise for this year. Philippians chapter 3 from verses 10 to 14. Can somebody read out loudly, please? Philippians 3, 10 to 14.
That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, in verse number 10 it says that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. By any means, Paul is saying, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul died 2000 years ago. When Christ is going to come, he will also be one of the person who is going to be risen up from the dead. This was his dream. He was praying, Lord, if I may attain the resurrection from the dead. But then he says, not that I have already attained. I'm already perfected. See, we are in a race of life. We have not got everything under control. We are still moving on. We are still moving forward. And we need to understand that. I press on. Why? That I may lay hold of what which Christ has laid hold of me. And he says, this is one thing I do every day. Paul resolves to do one thing. What is it? Forget the yesterdays. Forget the past. Reach out to what is ahead. There are a lot of things God wants to do through our lives. Let me tell you, each and every day, God wants to do amazing things. When you get up in the morning, look at a new day. Look at the sun rising from the east and we say, thank you, Lord, for this new day. Let me serve you. Let me fulfill your purpose in my life. Let me not have a life of all the time resentment and regret of the yesterdays that have gone. We cannot do anything of the yesterdays. We cannot undo the past. It's gone. The wasted years of our times. It's all gone behind us. We need to reach out. And the only time we can work is not tomorrow, not yesterday. When is it? Today. Today. So today you all come to worship God. I would say, take the time and Really worship Him the way He wants to be worshipped. Do the best for today. And then you press on towards the goal. As I said, to the end. We need to be faithful to the end. Press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful journey, my brothers and sisters, if you have Christ as your good shepherd. It's a wonderful journey. God will lead you to greater things through the storms of life, through the tornadoes and the hurricanes and the tsunamis that can come and try to destroy your earthly life. If you put your feet and your trust in God and He becomes your rock of foundation, the rock on which you stand, and the word, you anchor yourself on the word of God, I am telling you, nobody can dislodge you from God's promises. God will take you and use you mightily in the days to come. And that is the beauty of it. Jude chapter 1 verse 21. We are going to close here with this word. Jude 1:21. Where Apostle Jude is writing to the common church. And he says like this. You know, keep yourself what? Can somebody tell me? How do we keep yourself?
In the love
of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 36 also tells us something. As we read that, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 36. Can somebody read that please? Hebrews 10:36.
For you have the need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God you may receive the promise.
37 too.
For yet a little while and He who is coming will come and will not tarry.
I want to close my words here. You have the need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God that you may receive the promises of God fulfilled in your life. Because this is what His promises. For yet a little while He who is coming will come and He will not tarry. He will not delay. But the just shall live by faith. I wanted us to think about our life. Our life should be a life of constant trusting in God. Trusting in the promise of God. We cannot say that, make complaints or do things. We have to get closer to God. And when we trust, He will do what He has promised us. Can we all close our eyes for a word of prayer? This morning God has spoken to us very clearly. I have no doubt that how much you think about. I am sure God has spoken to you in some aspects of your life. At the end of the day, when our life is over, what can we show for God when we stand before Him? What can we tell God, I have done this for you. I have done this in my life. I have been faithful in these things. This is what you gave me. Lord, I have used whatever you gave me. My time, my talents, my treasures. You have given me all this. I have used this to Lord. Bring this back to you. This is what I can offer to you, God. Let me ask you this. Do we have anything to say when we stand before God one day? It is not going to be very long, let me tell you. We may think our life is long. Our life is not going to be long before you know it. Our life is over. Everybody is either going down under the ground or going up when Jesus comes. There is no two ways about it. This is not an eternal life. But Christ has promised His eternal life for us. But we need to do the will of God. Can you just dedicate yourself this morning and say, Lord, here am I. Use me, Father. Let my life be a life of endurance. Let me persevere through the problems that are happening. Let me really trust in you, Father, because you mean more to me than anything. Can you truly pray to God from your heart? Just close your eyes and bow your heads. Don't look around. Just bow your heads and just pray to God directly. Talk to your Father. Say, Lord, I want to trust in you, even though it looks very hard in my life, but I want to trust in you. Not only for me, for my wife, for my husband, for my children, for my parents. I want to trust in you, Lord. That you are going to fulfill your promises in my life. You want me to be an overcomer. You don't want me to be buried in problems and be a complainers and be going after things that does not belong to me. But I will put my eyes upon you. And I will be contented with what you have given me in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful God we serve. He has again reminded us, brothers and sisters, of a life that we can live close to Him. Live a life close to God. Speak to Him. Let your ears open to hear His word. He wants to talk to you. He wants to communicate with you. He wants to use you to be a blessing in other people's lives. Thank you, Jesus. Can one of us please lead out in prayer as we close our class today?
Our Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this morning time, Lord Father, that you have given to us, Lord, to come before you and worship you and praise you and thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for all your faithfulness in our lives, Lord Father. Thank you for the learning that we got this morning, Lord Jesus, that you reminded us again and again and again that you have a special purpose in our life, Lord Father. Thank you for the highest calling that you put in our lives, Lord Father.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for reminding us, Lord Father, that we have to be holy before you. And Lord Jesus, we have to endure our race, Lord Father, that is set before us. Help us, Lord Father, to walk in the track that was put in front of us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Father, to run the race, Lord Jesus, in discipline of your love, Lord Father. Help us, Lord Father, to walk in your love and endure our run, Lord, the race, Lord Jesus. We praise you and we thank you for everything that you've been doing in our life, Lord Father. I submit myself into thy hands, Lord Father, this morning. Help us, Lord Father, to live a holy life each and every day while listening to you and, Lord Jesus, to walk in your faith, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Father, to show your life in through our life, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Father, to be a reflection of Christ in our life, in each and every day of our life, Lord Jesus. We submit ourselves into thy hands this morning. Help us, Lord Father, to worship you in truth and spirit, Lord Jesus. Oh, make this day a grateful day for your glory and your honor, Lord Jesus. Again, Lord Jesus, we ask each and everything in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.